Hi, everyone.
Hello. This is
Hello.
What happens when Karina starts the podcast.
Dude, I was going really into the cheesemate right now. I was catching up Irma with my life.
I love it.
And I had a lot to tell her. So right now I'm just like, okay, what do I talk about now? Another spooky podcast, duh. But hey guys, welcome back to another episode, and this is episode 21.
Yes,
by the way, this is Karina Reyes
and Dilma Cornejo, your two favorite podcasters. Said no one ever, but that's fine.
It's okay, I feel like we're pretty good.
I like our podcast.
Yeah, I like it too. It's cool, whatever.
It's all right. I mean, it should be the top of the charts.
I mean, we should be getting awards.
We should get the first Grammy for a podcast.
We should be getting those. What is that award ceremony they have where they have like YouTube and stuff? You know what I'm talking about when YouTubers get like awards and stuff?
No.
They have like a separate, like.
I don't know which one you're talking about. But you know which award show I want to be a part of?
What?
Okay, shout out to Frenemies. And I know you told me to listen to that podcast, and I listened to it. I'm obsessed.
But Frenemies.
Dude, it's so funny. But you know how they had their own award show? I think it was like Beamies or something. I don't know what they called it.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They should include us in that. Like, they should. So, Ethan, please put us in the podcast.
Ethan be low-key a dick sometimes, though, bro.
He's going to call us out.
No. Dude, I feel like he would talk shit. All he does is talk shit.
Oh, he's going to come for us. But shout out to H3. Shout out to Trisha.
Yeah, Trisha would protect us. I have a feeling she would. But Ethan would fucking talk shit.
Ew, for real.
We swear. He would cry, bro. Like, what the fuck? I'm just fucking trying to make it, bro.
For real. After like him roasting us, I'm going to have a mukbang, or like I'm just going to cry on the floor like a Trisha Paytas moment.
If I don't make it on the drama channel, then that was an
unsuccessful episode.
Yeah, bro. I feel like I have to come out with like a conspiracy shit of like Ethan and Trisha.
Don't worry, because this episode we're going to be talking about conspiracies. Well, not this specific episode, but we're going to lead up to those conspiracies. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll get on the drama channels. I'm just kidding.
Maybe. I really want to make it on the drama channel.
Yeah, I know. Low key. No, not really. I don't want to be in drama.
I don't mind drama. If it's
just shut
as
up.
As a PR person, you know, there's no such thing as bad press. Mm-hmm. Everything is good. Actually, I take that back. I shouldn't say that, but. Yeah. For the spotlight, I guess, you know. I wouldn't mind being talked shit to
by Ethan Klein.
Yeah. The Frenemies podcast.
And Trisha.
Yeah. I feel like Trisha, like I said, I feel like she would protect us, but
I think she would. She's so funny. Yeah. She cracks me up. Honestly, okay, this is the last thing I'm gonna say about this podcast, okay? But like my favorite quote by Trisha is like, I think she said, I want to die with a stomach full of nuggies, like chicken nuggies. Literally me.
Dude, that's me too. I love Trisha.
Yeah, she's funny.
She's always having something new to say every episode. Like, girl, like, don't you run out of experiences? Like, I want to live a life like that where every single time it's always something new, you know?
Exactly.
But anyways, guys, for this episode, we're going to be talking about
the death of Marilyn Monroe.
She had to think about it for a second. She was like, wait, what are we talking
about?
I
was like, let me read the title really quick.
And I know you guys, I don't know if you guys like listened to one of our previous episodes. I think we made one on the Roosevelt Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Where we kind of went a little bit into like the spooky stories and all these things, right? But we also kind of mentioned Marilyn Monroe because she was such a big thing when it came to that hotel, since she liked to kind of, you know, visit, be there for like movie premieres, etc. And so after recording that episode, we were really intrigued with like Marilyn Monroe herself. So we were like, you know what, it will be a really great idea to talk about Marilyn Monroe, since we love her and she has a lot of conspiracy theories based off on her.
Yeah, I mean, she had a very tragic death, and it's, we're going to talk about it, but there's a lot of mystery surrounding her death and a lot of mystery surrounding her life in general. So because of this, there's a lot of information, and we don't want to bombard you with a really long episode. So we're going to actually split this up into two episodes, our first two-parter. Yay, so exciting. And in the first episode, we're going to talk about a little bit about Marilyn Monroe, how she grew up, her background, and we're also gonna talk about her death. And in the next episode, we're gonna go into detail about the conspiracy theory surrounding her mysterious death. So I'm gonna start it off, and I'm gonna talk a little bit about Marilyn Monroe and her life story. So we're gonna go into the glamorous life of Marilyn Monroe. On June 1st, 1926, Norma Jean Mortensen, famously known as glamorous sex symbol Marilyn Monroe, was born in a Los Angeles hospital to mother Gladys Pearl Barker and father John Newton Barker. Unfortunately, from the beginning, Marilyn was not dealt the best cards in life. Her mother was married to John Barker at age 15, who was abusive, and it was unclear if he was indeed Marilyn's real father. I think that they say that he is, just because Marilyn usually claims that that's her father, and she used his name before her name was changed to Marilyn Monroe, of course. So, yeah, we're just going to go with it. He is her father. And sadly, Gladys, Marilyn's mother, suffered with mental illnesses throughout her life. This will later become relevant when we talk about her death and the conspiracy theories. Due to the misunderstanding of mental illness at the time, Marilyn's mother was in and out of mental institutions and unable to care for Marilyn. Due to these unfortunate circumstances, Marilyn was put into the foster care system, but her early childhood was somewhat pleasant, as she was put with her foster parents, Albert and Ida Bolander, I don't know how to pronounce that, I'm sorry, who just happened to live in the rural town of Hawthorne, California. And I say it like that, and I put that in there because I was going to say Karini, like Karini bacteria. Sorry, I'm thinking about work. Karina and I are familiar with
Hawthorne. No, you fake ass bitch.
I was legit gonna call you
Karini. Karini is bacteria. Holy shit. Babe.
Shut up, Karini bacterium.
I love that, bro. Tell me why I feel like making myself a meme right now.
Karini.
Put myself in a fucking cell or some shit.
I'm gonna put your face on a Karini. Karini bacterium. Be like, Karini. What I see in my microscope every day at work. Karina's face.
Yeah. That's how you know Irma would be living her job, bro.
Microbiology is my life. Bro.
Living, breathing, eating her job, bro.
Shout out to everyone that knows what a Karini bacteria looks like.
Dude, I'm gonna do a poll and like, do you guys know what a Korean imposter is?
And now we will call Kareem.
In the end, it'll be just like my face.
Me? I'm gonna like it.
Good. Oh, shit. That was funny, bitch. Okay.
Sorry. But I mentioned the rural town of Hawthorne, California, because now it's not a rural town. And Karina and I are familiar with Hawthorne. I can't say your name anywhere.
Gang gang.
And gang gang. Anyways, in the summer of 1934, Monroe's mother, Gladys, was formally diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. And again, that's going to become very important. So remember that note, because it kind of contributes to Marilyn's mental state at the end of her life. And it also contributes to certain conspiracy theories surrounding her mysterious and sudden death. And Monroe was officially a ward of the state. Her living situation was changing a lot, and sadly, she was sexually abused and developed a stutter. She was known as a shy girl, and after her stutter, I don't think that helped with her shyness and stuff. Unfortunately,
dude, I feel like you're about to stutter right now.
I know, I'm fucking stuttering, saying stutter, rainy.
I was like, are you good?
I'm not good, bro. I'm just so sad.
I feel like everyone has had a stutter at least once in their lives, bro.
For real. Me right now calling you cranny, I swear. I just got off of work.
Dude, you know when you're like arguing with someone and you're like going ham and then you start stuttering, you're like, fuck, I lost the argument.
Deadass.
Like, it's over, bro. The moment you stutter, it's over.
Shut up.
Bitch, I'm dead. Okay.
Anyways, eventually Monroe was put into the Los Angeles Orphans Home. While in the system, Monroe said she found her passion in acting because her foster families would sometimes send her to the movie theater to get out of the house, and this is where she found a passion for acting, and she decided that this is what she wanted to do for her life. She wanted to be an actress. Eventually, one of Monroe's mother's friends took custody of her, and she moved out of state to West Virginia, but that was legally not allowed, so Child Protective Services was going to put her back in the orphanage, but instead of going back, at the age of 16, she decided to marry her 21-year-old neighbor, James Daltrey, I think that's how you pronounce it. She did not like being a housewife, but she felt like she had no choice other than to marry him so she could be out of the orphanage and foster care system. When her husband went off to fight in World War II, like many women at the time, she went to work. She worked at a radio plane company in Van Nuys. And one day a photographer who had gone to the factory to take pictures of women in the workforce saw this gorgeous, gorgeous brunette working, and he had to take a picture of her. And even though he decided not to put her pictures of Monroe or Norma Jean in his, he decided not to publish her pictures, but that's when Monroe decided she was going to quit her job and really focus on a modeling career. And honestly, she had it all. She was gorgeous. She had the look. She had the attitude. She was ready to be that icon.
Yes, her attitude was what kind of, I feel like, made her who she is.
Absolutely.
And her personality and the way she portrayed herself. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, everyone can have the looks, right? Not everyone, actually. But if you have the looks, right?
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. it's okay. We're all beautiful in some way, you know? Yes, some way, shape, and form. Whatever.
You know, oh wait, sorry, this is off topic and this is like completely mean, but every time on Twitter I always see that they call the ugly people, they always say like, oh, they have a nice personality,
yeah.
Instead of saying like they're cute or whatever. Literally me. I have a good personality.
Just chill out, bro. Just chill out for a sec.
No, I don't know why Twitter had to come for me like that.
I don't know why Twitter had to come for me like that either, bro. My personality is strong as fuck. That's all I gotta say.
I got a good personality. Okay?
Listen, it has gotten me far in life, okay? Actually, I take that back. I don't know.
Anyways, what were you saying?
Okay, so, you know, she had the looks, but honestly, if she just had the looks, yes, I'm pretty sure she would still get far, you know, in her career. But mostly because how she handled herself and she portrayed herself. She was so seductive. She knew how to get what she wanted. That confidence, just like, even seeing videos and like pictures of her, the way she would pose, the way she would carry herself was like so intact and powerful. And I feel like that's why people were so drawn to her as a person. Her aura was probably like super strong and like seductive, powerful. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when a person like that walks in the room, they're not gonna blend in.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna be, they're gonna pop out.
Like, yes, the first type of
people that are gonna pop out. Not to say that Irma and I are not like that, but
but we got great personality.
That Leo energy, I'm not really sure what she is, but I'm gonna look it up. But anyways, go on.
Anyways, so she decided to quit her day job and go into modeling. She really liked getting her pictures taken. And like Karina noted, she had a lot to her. Like, she was gorgeous. She had a great personality. She had so much confidence. So I think she could do it. Her career didn't start off absolutely perfect. And she did not get amazing roles at first, but what really made it take off was she received a standard 6-month contract with Paramount Pictures. And after that, and after working with Paramount Pictures, her career did eventually take off, and she started booking different photo shoots. She started booking movie deals and stuff, and she started appearing in movies. Eventually, she did divorce her first husband in 1946, and she decided to divorce him because there was basically an ultimatum. Whether she wanted to pursue her acting / modeling career or be a housewife. And like the bad bitch that she is, she decided to pursue her career. And we love that because at that time, it was so important to be a housewife. But now for Marilyn. It's important to note that her name was actually changed to Marilyn Monroe by the Paramount executives because they felt like Norma Jean Mortensen wasn't really something that everyone would remember.
Right.
Yeah, so she ended up changing it to Marilyn Monroe.
I mean, I think it's cute, right? It gives you that innocent, like, kind of like country girl.
Yeah.
Kind of feel. Which I think is super adorable. I would have loved her if she kept that name too. But yes, Marilyn Monroe gives a whole different like impression of who she is as a person too. So that's what they called it, like her alter ego, right?
Yeah, she was Marilyn Monroe, the star, and Norma Jean, the person.
Mm-hmm.
I like the name Norma Jean. I think it's kind of cute.
Right, I feel like that was her inside though. That was like she was Norma Jean, but inside, outside, it was like that Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And yes, so she took off, her career took off, and she basically made this career that became iconic, and we still know her, and she's still relevant in media. And to this day, she still represents she still represents like being able to express your sexuality as a woman, being confident. She is a sex icon, but at the end of the day, she is still this woman, Norma Jean, and she did a lot for women in that time by openly expressing her sexuality, and we appreciate that about her. She's a true icon. A fucking icon. So she did have an amazing career, both in acting and modeling. But unfortunately, at the end, before her death, her career wasn't as prominent as it was before. And it's because she was going through a lot mentally. And she was showing signs of mental illness, similar to those of her mother. But Karina will go more into her death. So
yeah, hold on, girl. Can you hear that?
No,
my mom's over here screaming and shit. Hold on.
Okay,
another day of living with a Mexican mama. Okay, guys, question. Since I'm pretty sure the majority of you guys are either multicultural or some type of like different, you know, mix but have culture. I'm not really sure, whatever. Anyways, I'm just talking about like my Mexican mom, right? But whenever she talks on the phone, she is so damn loud. And it's like, girl, why are you talking so damn loud? She's like, hello, me puedes escuchar? And I was like, mom, oh my gosh.
And they, hello, why are you coming for her?
I don't know if does your mom do that or about, or just
yeah, my mom talks really loud on the phone though, like legit. Like when I talk to her on the phone, I'm like, damn, mom, why are you screaming at me?
Yeah, dude.
I'm just like, trying to see how your day was. Damn.
Yeah, dude. My mom is screaming, and it'll be like the. Like a 30-second of, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
Okay, but anyways. Yes, let's get started with her death. Now, I think I mentioned this in previous episodes, but there is a Museum of Death here in LA, Hollywood.
I went.
Down Sunset. Yes, we have been there separately, but we've been there. And I actually go only two times, too, because I love one.
Wow, bitch, you just had to beat me on that one, huh?
Dude, oh my god. I went over the summer though, and it was terrible. They don't have AC, so guys, if you guys ever have the chance to go over like springtime or like wintertime. Mm-hmm. That would just hell.
But anyways. Oh, and if you go, make sure you have something fun planned after, because it's really dark and it kind of like you kind of feel it after seeing all of it. I know we went to the Museum of Illusions right after, so it kind of like helped us cheer up because it's very intense and very dark.
Yeah, it can be a little heavy, not gonna lie. Even
they'll be
like,
ready.
The energy is pretty like dark, but it was pretty interesting. So
it was interesting.
If you guys have a chance to go. It's pretty cool, at least to me. But there is this section, they only had it for Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. And they have some of her I don't know if it was her own personal clothing or the clothing that she would wear on movie sets, but I know they had a piece of that, and they had a little bit of like makeup or something like that. But anyways, it was pretty cool. So if you guys ever go, you guys get to see that. And yeah, let's get started with her death. So leading up to the day Monroe died, it was apparent that she was possibly showing signs of mental illness like her mother had in the past. She does come from a family where mental illness was a struggle. So unfortunately, that kind of seemed to be the case when it came to Marilyn herself. And because of this, Marilyn was seeing a psychiatrist who prescribed some medication to help her with her mental illness. She was not prescribed a huge amount to the fact that she had previously struggled with substance abuse. On August 5th, 1962, Marilyn housekeeper Eunice Murray woke up at 3 a.m. When she woke up, she felt like something was off, so she went to check up on Marilyn's room, where under the door she saw a light. She tried calling for Marilyn to open the door to let her in to make sure everything was okay, but eventually she just got no response, so she tried opening the door herself and it was locked. At this point, Eunice started to get a little worried, so she ended up calling Marilyn's psychiatrist, Ralph Greenson. When he got to the house, he broke into Marilyn's room through a window, and that is where he found the body of Marilyn on her bed. He ended up calling Marilyn's physician, Hyman Engelberg, who got there around 3:50 a.m. and he was the one who officially pronounced Marilyn dead. So that's pretty sad how that happened, right?
Mm-hmm. It all happened within like an hour.
Yeah.
And
it's like kind of surprised that they were able to gather up all these people like super quickly, which kind of makes sense how of a bad state she was probably in to have all these people like on call. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And just to be devil's advocate and add a little bit of suspicion and a little bit of excitement for next week episode when we go into the conspiracies, is just kind of funny how all of this happened within an hour, and like those were the people called. And isn't it kind of funny that randomly the housekeeper woke up at like 3 in the morning and was like, there's something weird.
I do think that's a little weird, but then again, I feel like maybe I'm just being super like spiritual on these things, but maybe it was like her intuition. You know, sometimes when you wake up, I know this happens to me, like sometimes I just wake up in the middle of the night, let's just say at 3. And I'm just like, oh my god, like there's something off or whatever, and I'm like, I have a feeling my brother's not here, and I go and check on my brother and he's not here. And or something like that, you know, you just have like this feeling. And so maybe that's kind of the case on this,
maybe too, yeah,
but maybe,
yeah. And like you said, maybe she was just going through it mentally and like they knew that,
so people were a little bit more like on her. But I do find it a little weird, like I, you know, mentioned that everybody was like on call again, maybe because of the bad state that she was mentally. But how fast can you get there in an hour? I don't know. That is a little weird, right?
Yeah. What the people who were there,
the witnesses,
said.
Right?
So it's not like set in stone, like, yes, she woke up exactly at 3 in the morning. But again, this is a guesstimation. She just woke up. It's the middle of the night. She had a bad and she went to check on Monroe and she saw the light under her room and said, well, she's in her room, but the door is locked. I'm a little worried. Let me call a professional, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know, guys. Is it intuition or something else?
Something suspicious.
If I was to walk into, like, let's just say I was living with someone, right? And I mean, I am living with someone. But if I was to go to someone's room, wake up, and I'm like, okay, there's something weird. The light was on. I'll just be like, all right, they're sleeping. And they just fell asleep with the light on.
I'm not going to get immediately worried. Like if my roommates leave their light on in their room. Honestly, I'm not even checking if their light is on under the bed, like under the door, you know? Like at 3 in the morning, I'm sorry, I'm cranky. I'm going to get up, go pee or whatever. But if I'm, I guess if I really do have a feeling, I would go check. But I'm not going to like try to open their door and like knock. But then again, it could be because Monroe is kind of going through it during her last few days and she was mentally unstable. So maybe that's why the housekeeper felt like she had to check up on her.
That's what I'm saying too, like
you said, intuition.
Maybe because they knew that she was on edge and she was going through it, that they would be more on top of it when it came to checking up on her. But I still kind of find that a little weird.
And like maybe also her previous substance abuse like makes
barely help
a little
out.
Bit more paranoid about her having a locked door,
so. That kind of makes sense too.
Yeah, but we'll talk about the weird, mysterious death in part 2.
A little teaser. It is important to know that the LAPD was not notified of Marilyn's death until 4:25 a.m., about an hour after her body was found. The autopsy revealed that Marilyn's likely time of death was between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. on August 4th, and the toxicology report noted that the cause of death was acute barbiturate poisoning. In this toxicology report, it was noted that Marilyn had
8 milligrams of chlorohydrate, 4.5 milligrams of phenobarbital nubatol, which is a drug used, 13 milligrams of pentobarbital.
So due to the results of the toxicology report, the fact that there was empty bottles of medication found by her body, Marilyn Monroe's past history of substance abuse and mental illness history, as well as an autopsy performed by the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office assisted by the suicide prevention team. Marilyn Monroe's death was presumed to be a possible suicide. Dang.
Hence possible
suicide.
Suicide. I am highlighting possible.
Yeah. Possible. Okay. But Let's continue. The tragic death of Marilyn Monroe was reported on the front page of all the United States and Europe. That was big
newspapers. News, man, yeah, they were right? Everywhere.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, hello, it's Marilyn Monroe. She was famous, but yeah. It was probably like, yeah, pretty bad. There was many fans who admired and loved Marilyn Monroe and were saddened by the news of the icon's mysterious death. Marilyn Monroe's legacy lives on to this day, and she's still admired by so many people out there for being glamorous, gorgeous, and an inspiration for women to be more open about their sexuality and not conforming to stereotypical female norms. She was and still is a fucking icon. And true. Not only that, dude, like, I feel like most of the roles that she got, she was tired of playing that bimbo, like, blonde, stereotypical, you know, roles.
Dumb, beautiful bitch, yeah.
Yes, dude, and I feel like the moment she tried to, like, get, like, I guess, quote-unquote serious roles, right? Mm-hmm. She was, like, neglected, and she fought back, bro. She was like, nah, bitch, I'm trying to get these roles. These roles, I feel like I can do a better job at it, and I love that boss move that she made.
And she deserved those roles. She worked hard for it.
Yeah, there was a... Oh, man, I think it was, like, closer to her death. She had this movie coming out at the time. She was actually replaced in that movie because she just couldn't continue recording it. She was spaced out. Pobrecita. She was spaced out. She would be, like, recording the scene with her, you know, her counter partner, actor, whatever. And she was spaced out halfway. She wouldn't remember her lines. She would arrive pretty late, and that's where she had a lot of trouble, like, really focusing on these roles. And that's kind of when she started getting all these better roles too. So it's kind of like a little sad. It's like, dang, yeah, she was probably going through a lot.
I think she was also, like, I think her psychiatrist later on started noting that, or said that she was exhibiting signs of paranoid schizophrenia, which is what her mother was actually diagnosed with. So maybe that's why she was really suffering at the end, and it was starting to show, and people were getting worried about her. And unfortunately, mental illness wasn't fully understood at that time, and it, the way that they were treating it wasn't the best method. I think that a combination of the drugs and a combination of her mental health led up to her death, and people assuming it was a suicide. But there's just so many conspiracy theories surrounding her death, and there's so much mystery, and I'm really excited to go into it.
Yeah, she's a woman with a lot of history, and I feel like with this conspiracy theories that we're going to talk about for the next episode, we're going to go in depth with a lot of these really great conspiracy theories, and I'm pretty sure you guys are going to love it. I love it. Yeah. I love digging into the people's past.
Me too.
And it's super exciting. It's kind of like a journal, you know? And you're just like, what?
Yeah, and, like, Marilyn knew a lot. So she was holding a lot of power on very powerful people. And I think that was low-key intimidating to those powerful people. You know, when she started saying, like, I'm ready to come out with this shit. Like, I'm going to spill the tea, bitch, and I'm going to bring all you bitches down. And, like, she was ready.
I feel like she had a lot of pressure when a lot of people know so much and they gone through so much, and the pressure, probably, like, the anxiety that came with it too. And obviously, like, her history of substance abuse did not help out her mental illness either, because I know a lot of people with history of mental illness, and, like, especially, like, being schizophrenic, a lot of those things can be triggered from substance abuse. So I know that you really have to be careful when it comes to stuff like that, because, you know, it can definitely trigger something, and that probably made things worse. And her pressure of being in the limelight was pretty heavy as well. So it's crazy, and I'm really excited to talk about her next episode. It's gonna be cool.
But I also do want to put out a trigger warning for the next episode. Like, we do talk about mental illness and suicide, and I do want to say that her mental illness and her substance abuse didn't define her as a person. It's just she went through a lot in life, and unfortunately that's how she coped with substance. It's not the best method, and she coped with her mental illness as well with substance. It is not her fault, and I think it's important to say that it did not define who she was.
Right.
At the end of the day, we know Marilyn Monroe as the icon, as a gorgeous woman, absolutely glamorous, and we don't want to...
Very smart.
Define. Yeah. Very smart. Yeah. We don't want her mental illness or her substance abuse to define her image.
And also putting it out there, just because, you know, you do happen to take medication for mental illness does not mean... you know,
anything bad or
it's definitely something that a lot of people use for help. It works for a lot of people, and you know, if it helps, that's kind of all that really matters. It doesn't mean that you're any different or that you're not going to be able to cope with certain things or anything like that, or you know, kind of takes away from who you are as a person. Like Irma said, it's something that is provided for you, a resource. So definitely, you know, if it helps you out as a person, that's awesome. And yeah, fortunately, you know, for Marilyn, it was a different case, but doesn't mean, you never know what must have happened. That's kind of what we're talking about. You know, was it really the medication? Was it really the people that surrounded her? Was it really something else deeper than that? We're not really sure, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people have a lot of questions surrounding her death, but just putting it out there, like Irma said, good thing, trigger warning for a lot of people when it comes
for
to
suicide and mental health.
Yeah, it's sensitive topics, and for sure it's something that is not to be taken lightly. Now hopefully.
And I also want to mention that if you are suffering with depression, and I know times are hard, and I know people have mental illness, and everyone suffers with something. Don't feel ashamed. And if you need help, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255, and you can reach out. They speak various languages. It's available 24 hours, so please get the help if you need it. Don't be ashamed. We've all been through it. We all have rough patches. And I'm going to say the hotline number again. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline in the United States is 1-800-273-8255. It is available 24 hours, and they're there to help you. So we're sending you guys much love, and please remember there's going to be a trigger warning. But
also holla at us on our DMs.
Yes, we love you guys.
Yeah, we love to talk to you guys for everything, honestly. And you know, if anything, we're here for you guys always, and we like to just be here for you guys, and hopefully you guys are able to trust us. And you know, if anything was to come up, we're here, guys. But yes, trigger warning for the future episode of next week. So definitely, if it's something that, you know, it's not something that you guys want to listen to, that's absolutely fine. We understand. And if anything, good that you recognize that and you're able to tell what you're comfortable with and not with. And there's another exciting episode coming soon, very soon, actually, in 2 weeks. We're going to have a guest. So there's something to look forward to.
Yes, we love you guys. And make sure to hit us up on our socials, because we want to hear from you. So hit us up on Instagram at
Another Spooky Podcast.
On Twitter at
A Spooky Podcast.
And send us a Gmail at
aspookypodcast@gmail.com.
And we will see you guys next time.
Yes, thank you guys. Bye.
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 Bye.